Let's turn to the Bible as we talked about. And I want to encourage you, if you're here this morning and you brought your Bible, let's flip it open to Proverbs chapter 31. If you got the Pew Bible under your chair in front of you, that's going to be on page 471 in your Pew Bible there in front of you. Same NIV one that I preach from, so we'll be looking at that together. But in Proverbs chapter 31, the wonderful thing that we're talking about this morning is Mother's Day. And so we want to look at women that speaks about here. The title is in chapter 31, verse 10, says, the wife of with noble character. So we're going to look at some characteristics of women or wives or ways that actually we should be. And so it's so wonderful that the book of Proverbs is all about wisdom, and it would end this way. So we're in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30, says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And if we went back to the very beginning of the book of Proverbs, so Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, says this, says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. And so all throughout this book, though, from the very first chapter to the very last chapter, is all of these thoughts of wisdom and encouragement in the ways that we should be, and obviously the ways, you know, we shouldn't be. We want to be fools, we want to be unwise, we want to be disciplined, we want to follow God's ways. And so the qualities that are mentioned throughout this book, if we were to read the whole thing this morning, how much time do we have? Yeah, we'll might be here for a little bit. We got a second service, we probably can't do that. But, you know, it's hardworking. We're going to read in just a moment. Fears God, respects her spouse, has foresight, encouragement, cares for others, concern for the poor, wisdom in handling money. The qualities that she has when coupled with God and a fear of God, a healthy fear of the Lord, like move mountains. These are the kind of things that she enjoys and, with success and honor and worth. All of these kind of things make her an ideal woman, a woman of strong character. Now, this last week, I performed a wedding. And so Faith and Bevan got married over at the E-Free Church just the other day. So that was super exciting. Yes, there they are. And so they're not here this morning. I think I saw them like in Honolulu or somewhere. I was thinking, yeah, well, that's awesome, man. So they're enjoying life, and so it's a great start. And so as I was doing the vows, I just was able to, as a pastor would do, just kind of speak over their lives and speak into her life. I just shared out of Proverbs chapter 31, verse 26. And I said, she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. And I just spoke that over Faith. I said, you're a woman of wisdom, and knowledge will come from your mouth as you raise your family, as you're, you know, wonderful with your spouse, as you're at work. You know, you've done things biblically correct on the way that you've handled your marriage to this point, and I just pray God would continue to do that in and over you as a couple. So that was a lot of fun. When we think about the book of Proverbs, often Psalms and Proverbs, you know, kind of, there's a lot that goes on there. And I was given this book. And did you look at the front page? No. That's my wife, Amelie. Yeah, there she is. April 25th is my birthday, just in case you forgot. 2001. And so I lived in Nanaimo. I was working at Walmart at the time. At 2000, I got saved. 2000 in the fall, I moved over to North Vancouver. We started hanging out a little bit. And then that February in 2001 was the first day that I said I loved you on Valentine's Day. And I won't say what you said in here because I think we got to be careful. Dearest Rob says, love, Amelie. Just, I thought, isn't that so? That's 25 years ago. And so this book is special to me. And when we look at it here, in the very back, and we're in Proverbs chapter 31, and so there's a little bit of a page there on 31, verse 30. Charm can be deceptive, and beauty doesn't last, but a woman who fears and reveres God shall be greatly praised. And this is what we are looking at today, and this is who my wife is. And so when I think about this book of Proverbs, though, often you would see books coupled together. And so when you get a New Testament Bible, sometimes it would include Psalms, right? But often when they think about a noble wife or somebody of character, Proverbs, and then the book of Ruth would be attached to that as well because of this. And so noble character. So if we were to go back to Ruth, chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, "And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. What are we known for as people? What does the townsmen or what do the community think of us and our characteristics?" And I hope that they reflect things like we're about to read in the Bible, that we are people of integrity and honor, and we will do the right thing, and we will say the right things, and we'll, if we find money on the ground in somebody's house, we'll actually give it to them. I'm just being silly with you, like, we'll do the right thing. You know, I would be able to trust my wife with somebody else's, you know, husband, because you're a person of honor and respect, and you would never. And these are the kind of characteristics that we look at here. So I want to read the whole thing. Let me take a sip of water here. So Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10, all the way to 33. So bear with me. It's rich and wonderful, and we just want to speak it out, and so speak it over ourselves. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. And out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle in her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate while he takes a seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm and deceit and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. And so we see this wonderful, the attributes and characteristic of a noble woman. And that seems like a tall order, the amount of things that we are trying to be or act upon or, you know, trying to hit out of the park. And you're like, wow, I do well at some of them. Maybe some of them I'm still working on. Please pray for me, because that's a tall order. When I think about this word and the husband and, you know, he's respected, we know this. Scientifically, and if you were to interview guys that are married, they live longer, they're happier, they're better employees, they're just overall happier. All these kind of things, because a woman makes us better. This morning, my wife dressed me. Thank you, Jesus. I look better than I would if I dressed myself. My wife loves the beard. I keep the beard. You know, these guys, like, you know, our wives make us better people, and we understand that as society. And it's not, again, because of her beauty. It says that, yes, they are beautiful. Yes, my wife is beautiful. I'm not saying that, but it's her reverence and fear of God that is her characteristic that makes her beautiful internally, and that's attractive. And because of it's a result of their relationship with God. Isn't it fascinating? I didn't really pick up on this until I was just doing a bit of research. It never talks about her physical appearance in 23 verses, not once. Isn't that fascinating? What it talks about is her heart and her characteristics and her values and her morals and her integrity. Whoa, Isn't that a win? That's so awesome. And this might be a bit of a portrait, if we were able to kind of put it into Proverbs and do a bit of a painting towards it, of what womanhood should look like. These are some of the characteristics that they should have. And I think it would be challenging us for us to have all of them. But here it is. It's like a model for us. It's something that we would strive towards, and I want to do better at. It's not a measuring rod where it's like, you have failed the 23 expectations upon you as a woman. It's more or less of a characteristic outlook or model, again, that we're supposed to try and, you know, achieve towards. Because this kind of a woman is like so godly. She's next to Christ, in a sense. Her characteristics are just flawless and perfect. Well, this is what we want to attain towards. So don't feel like less of a woman if you are missing out on some of these kind of characteristics. There are two passages in here that just I don't understand. And so I want to just flesh them out for just a second. And then we'll kind of recap it all and wrap this up. The very first one is in verse 19. It says, in her hands, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. Now, at that point in history, if I could show the picture here this morning, they didn't have the old spinny wheel at that point in history. This is what they would do. And so if anyone understands, you know, making wool and, you know, fabrics and that kind of stuff, it was very basic in the sense there was just a big pile of, you know, whatever fabric you were, and they were just spinning it by hand and catching it. And so to do that would just take time and energy and effort. I know that many of us have daughters that would take a ball of wool from, you know, the fabric store Walmart and would go hide away in their room for a while and come out with, like, all of a sudden a teddy bear. And it was just like, wow, what just happened there? And so these women were the same kind of way. They'd come away with just this big ball of something, and all of a sudden, something just majestic would come out of it because of the time, the effort, the consistency, just being there and making it happen. When we read about the women in this story, about the woman, sometimes the church does a disservice in the way that they communicate and they respect the woman, and thinking that when we look at scripture, it's about bowing down and submitting and groveling and, in, you know, domesticating, these kind of things. Like, I don't read that anywhere in here. What do I read? We read about a woman who is good at manufacturing things, who is good at importing things, who is a good manager, who is good at realty, because she's selling, is a good farmer, a seamstress, an upholster, a merchant. You know, strength and integrity are the things that she is a part of and that she does. Does this sound like a woman that's second-class citizen? I don't think so. This is a wonderful, godly woman who loves Christ and who is a blessing everywhere she goes. This is what we read about. It's an inspiration to us. It's an inspiration to women. The second point that didn't make a lot of sense here is in verse 21. When it snows, okay, she's a northern woman. Like, let's be honest with you. Like, we just know that. She's like, she's tough and she's, you know, oh yeah. She knows how to shovel, you know. When it snows in our house, we got 6 shovels. We go to town. We don't got a snowblower. We got manpower. It's brilliant. I love it. But anyways, when it snows, she has no fear of her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. Scarlet at that point in history when it was written, that's an expensive, and it's only really for the wealthy. And so this woman is able to run her household in a way that it's profitable. It's, you know, it's wealthy. It's done well. It's the resources are handled well. And in verse 22, it goes on. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and in purple. So at that point in history, again, if you were to take what they would call, you know, making beds, maybe making quilts with bolts of fabric and that kind of stuff, and rolls of fabric, making clothes out of it, bed coverings. And what they actually had to do was milk a snail. You ever tried that? I know I'm having some fun with you right now. You're like, really? But when it's written to get purple and red, this is one way they would do it. And so there's a picture here of, this is for real. There's a snail that has in its glands this kind of dye in it. And so they would, like, milk that thing in a sense and get the dye out to get it into the clothes to make the clothes, and then they'd spin it, and then they'd make it. And, like, do you understand the process of that? Like, that is exhausting. You stupid snail. Hold still. You know, like, I don't know what you, do you smash it? Do you squeeze it? Do you, like, I didn't research that. I just thought, this is just incredible. So you start with the wool. You get the wool out. Then you go harvesting the snails. And then you put them together. And then you got to let it dry. And then you got to spin it. And then you got to make it into fabric. Like, this woman is talented to the nine. Like, this is awesome, the stuff that she was doing. So I just wanted to have some fun with that. I just wanted to show you a sneeze snail on the big screen there. Okay, let's look at three things here real quick. All throughout this book, though, again, we don't have time to read it all, but something came out that I actually didn't notice before. Let's go back to chapter 1. So Proverbs chapter 1. Three times this jumps off the page to us. We're thinking about a woman of noble character. We're thinking about wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She praises her voice in the public squares. So there's this wisdom that is coming from her and this book. It goes on to say in verse 33, "But whoever listens to me will live in safety. Be at ease without fear of harm." So when we listen to wisdom, when we listen to this book, we are without fear, and without harm will not come to us. That's the wisdom calls aloud. Let's continue. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 8. Let's go over a couple pages. The heading's even called Wisdom Calls. Verse 1. It says, "Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice?" You can see in Proverbs, it's just laced with this. It's just unbelievable. If we were to continue to read in that chapter, just for fun, we'll spend a couple verses here. We'll go to verse 6. It says, "Listen, I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness." I don't like that. It's gross. "All of the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are faultless to those who have knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is far more precious than rubies." They didn't have diamonds at that time in history, but, you know, the most precious commodity that they could find in the ground. "Nothing you desire can compare with that, with wisdom and knowledge and listening and being obedient to this." Wow, isn't that just fun to think about? Let's go over to the very next chapter, chapter 9. Three times this shows up. Verse 1, "Wisdom has built her house." Wow, wisdom from her, from this, to be applied to our lives. Let's continue to read a little bit of that. Verse 4, "Let all who are simple come in here. She says to those who lack judgment, 'Come eat my food and drink, and the wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live.' Walk in the way of understanding. Walk in the truth. Walk in God's ways. Walk in his attributes and his morals and his ethics, and life will be less fearful. You'll be less worried. Be less anxiety in your life when you follow his ways." This isn't just for women. This is for all of us. And we can all reflect upon that. So let me just recap what we talked about here today. So in Proverbs chapter 1, we saw in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We would see at the very back of the book, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 30, "But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." People who fear the Lord and want to walk in his ways are to be praised, are to be blessed, God would go on to say. And I'm happy to say this morning that we got a church full of women like this. I've heard your stories. I know who you are. You shared with me. Like, we are blessed. Us men, you know, you're looking around thinking, absolutely. Thank you, Jesus. And there's some single ladies here and some single men here, and you guys will figure it out later. We'll just leave that alone. But I'm just saying, there's some wonderful young women. There's some wonderful mothers. There's some wonderful grandmothers in our church today. And so we are celebrating you today. Thank you for being like this. It's honestly easy to work with all of you. It's easy to kind of shepherd and lead you because you are like this. What you comes out of your mouth is just praiseworthy. You guys are so encouraging to me as your pastor. I am blessed because I know that you love God and you fear him. I'd like to, just for a moment, because our time together is for celebrating, you know, moms this morning. So just for a moment, would you feel comfortable, if you're able to, could you, I'd love to just pray for you. So if you're a grandmother here today, like if, again, if you're able to, could you just stand, just, I can pray for you. Mothers, if you could just stand as well. I'd just love to just spend a moment and just ask God's blessing over you. So let's just bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. God, I'm thankful for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word that ministers deep into our soul and our hearts and our spirits. Thank you that the truth is landing on good soil in our lives. Thank you that the truth of your word has the ability to change our thinking, to renew our minds, you say, and to do it daily. So today, we're asking, would you renew our minds? God, I just, first of all, it comes to my mind, first of all, right away. There's some women here today that feel like they don't measure up to that list. They feel like they've failed. They feel like they've let their husband down. They feel like they've been forgotten. They feel like they're just, I feel like there's a lot of emotion right now in that. So right now, God, we just offer it to you right now. It's something that we're not supposed to carry, not supposed to be yoked to this thinking, because you're a God that loves us. You're a God that cares for us. You're a God that sees beyond that. You see the beauty in every situation. So God, thank you for using those things to bring glory to your name. Lord, just for a moment, I think, thank you for making women. And thank you for the deeper beauty of their character that outshines and outlasts physical appearance. God, the deep beauty here today that's represented, so grateful for. Father, for the grandmothers here today, thank you for their years and years of prayers. The prayers of grandmothers are why many of us are here today. As they prayed for us for all these years, thank you for them. Father, for the mothers that are here right now as they are raising their kids right now, thank you that you're gonna give them wisdom and insight and discernment. And the reason kids turn out so well is often because a mother has instilled morals and values at such a young age. It's a beautiful thing, so we celebrate that today. And so, Father, as we kind of conclude our time here together, may you be glorified. May you be honored in everything that we say and do. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated.